So this is text 43, continuing to describe the different gradations of realms from the material to the spiritual. We described about Devi Dham and the material world, and also Sarashiva Loka, which is between part of Shiva Loka is in the material world below the Viraja River, known as Mahakal Dham, and above the Viraja River, bathing in the pure sunlight of the Lord's Brahma Jyoti, is the upper part of Sarashiva Loka, which is called Sarashiva Loka. But then, when you enter the full expanse of the spiritual region, which is permeated with the effulgence of the Lord and floating in the effulgence or the Brahma Jyoti of Krishna, and then you come to what is known as Vaikuntha, the spiritual planets. And there's three different levels of Haridham. This verse talks about Haridham. And there's three different levels. So the first one is Vaikuntha. Second one is Ayodhya, where Lord Ram stays. And then the third one is Dwarka, Puri, and Mathura. And then there's something beyond that, which of course is Braja Gokul. Because the verse is talking about four different levels. There's Devi Dham, then there's Mahesh Dham, then there's Hari Dham, then there's Damodar Dham, Sham Dham, Shama Sham Dham Ki Jai. There's one ashram called Shama Sham Dham, right next door to where we live. So that Shama Sham Dham is the abode of Radha and Shamasundar and Krishna Balaram. As the verse says, that lowest of all is Devi Dham, next above is Mahesh Dham or Shiva Dham, then above that is Hari Dham, but above them all is located Krishna's own realm, Goloka. So when we talk about Hari Dham, the Hari Dham region, that's all Vaikuntha, but Hari Dham is considered to be in three features, three aspects. The lowest one is Vaikuntha with all the residences of Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan, Vishnu, Das Avatar. Then above that is Ayodhya, and then above that is Dwarka Puri and Mathura Puri. They're basically the same. And above Dwarka and Mathura, of course, is Goloka, Braja Gokul, where Radha and Krishna reside. So also in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's some description of this Vaikuntha region. We can read a little bit about that. This is taken from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumar said, as they went inside and I stayed outside the gate, I saw someone come and begin to enter that city. He's on the gate of Vaikuntha, and he saw many people. They all looked like his Lord Gopal. He is a worshiper of Gopal Krishna. And he saw so many beautiful men in blue bodies with four arms coming and going, and he thought he wasn't sure who they all were. Sananda Goswami explains that the city here is Vaikuntha, and the person entering is a resident of Vaikuntha. This Vaikunthavasi was sitting on a transcendental airplane that was rich with the opulences of hundreds of universes. Singing wonderful songs to glorify the Lord, he was filled with happiness. His body was splendidly handsome, and his other features resembled Lord Vishnu's. Then Gopakumar, thinking that this was Lord Hari, he said to him, "O Lord, please save me." But when that person heard me say this, then he covered his ears. He bowed down before me and stopped me with these words. He said, "Dasosmi, dasosmi, dasosmi. I am a servant. I am a servant of the servants. Vishner das anudas anudas." Then he went inside. Then another person who was more opulent and glorious, he came. Seeing him, I thought he must be the Lord of the universes, who in his pastimes had gone somewhere and was now re-entering his own city after returning. Seeing me respectfully bowing down and speaking prayers as I had done before, he affectionately spoke to me the same way the other person had, and then he entered the city. Sanat Goswami explains that Gopal Kumar, when he saw the second person, he thought that he was also mistakenly thinking, oh, this is the Lord. If that person wasn't the Lord, well, this one looks like the Lord. So then he said, oh Lord, please save me. And again, as in the first case, that person that was addressed that way, he covered his ears and he said, I'm a servant of the servants. More persons came, some alone, some in groups of two, and some in very large groups came, each more glorious than before, and they entered the Lord's city, Vaikuntha Puri. Seeing them as before, I dived into an ocean of awe and reverence. Aishwarya Bhav. I bowed down before them and I offered prayers to them, but they stopped me and spoke to me with the nectar of affectionate words, the same way that the others had done. Some were carrying things to offer to the Lord, and some, intoxicated by the nectar of loving devotion, simply ran ahead. Their minds and senses were intent on their own specific services. They were decorated with pastimes of bliss, of the bliss of their of wonderful services. So it sounds like a beehive. All the little Vaikunthavasis, they're all running around madly like bees, serving the queen or in a beehive. They're intent on their services. They're not spacing out. They're absorbed in their service and they're feeling very blissful. All their limbs decorated, the ornaments that they were wearing. Their bodies were self-effulgent and very beautiful. And the ornaments, the gold armlets and bangles and rings and necklaces they had, they were decorated more beautiful by being placed on such beautiful bodies. Bowing down and reciting prayers, they acted wonderfully. They enjoyed a wonder of great pastimes as emperors do. They yearned to see the lotus feet of the Lord, the goddess of fortune's husband. Some came with associates, some with different paraphernalia. Some had both. Some merged their associates and paraphernalia in their own selves and became like penniless solitary sages plunged in the nectar of meditation. Some, moment by moment, manifested different wonderful and charming forms, each opulent with different and wonderful ornaments, features, and pastimes. Some were humans, some monkeys, some demigods, some demons, and some sages. Others carried the marks of being initiated in the orders of Varna and Ashrama. Some were like Indra, Chandra, and other demigods. Some had three eyes, some four heads, four arms, eight arms, and some had 1,000 faces. I will tell you the reason for this great wonder. How can they who taste the nectar of devotion to Krishna not be beautiful? Seeing them coming and going, I thought, if his servants are like this, then what the Lord must be like. Sanatana Goswami explains, Gopal Kumar saw the servants of the Lord of Vaikuntha were glorious and handsome and powerful and had many opulences and mystic cities. He wondered, how glorious must be the person they serve? Kind of reminds me of a humorous anecdote. In the San Francisco temple in the early days of 1970, there was one bhakta came to the temple in the middle of the week, and then there was some devotee there, and he was very happy and very blissful, smiling face, very happy, chanting the holy name, little kirtan. He had a big basket, big trash can on his back. He was a strong person. He was carrying it out through the trash. the backside, there's an even bigger one where you put it inside and a big truck comes and picks it up and takes it away. City trash people, whatever. So then that new bhakti, he met this devotee, and he was speaking with him, and then they took some prasadam together, spent a few hours with him. And he was such a happy devotee, such a peaceful devotee. And then the bhakti said, "Well, who are you? I mean, you know, what do you do? What do you do around here? What is your position here?" And that devotee said, "Well, I'm the trash man. I'm the garbage man. I take out the trash." And he said, "Well," and then he said, "Wow, you're just the, like, that's like the lowest position, just trash man. You're just the garbage man. But you're so blissful. You're so happy. You're so carefree." And he said, "Well, anyway, that's the mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna." And he said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Jayananda." And then that bhakti was thinking after he left, went back home. He said, "Wow, if the trash man at the temple can be so happy and so peaceful and so content and so nice to be around and such good company, I can't imagine what the other more advanced devotees, the temple president or some of the big leaders of the temple, they must be even more wonderful and more blissful." And so this is, I just remember, because we had the fortune to serve side by side with Jayananda and met him and talked many times and got some good sauce many times. And I just remember that when I reading this thing from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that Gopakumara is thinking, "Well, if the servants are like this, then what's the Lord like?" Srila Sanatan goes, or just like if you meet you judge a tree by its fruits. If the fruits are very good, then it means the tree is very good. So if devotees would, if that bhakta would meet someone like Jayananda and they say, "Well, wow, you're so nice and you're so blissful and happy. How come?" He said, "Well, you should meet my guru. You should meet Srila Prabhupada and how blissful he is and how happy he is and how self-contented he is and how peaceful he is." So like that, the servants of the Lord, they're giving some indication to Gopakumara of what greatness the Lord must have. Gopakumara saw the servants so then he said, "Dragged by joy, I stood and then I sat down and waited by the gate of Vaikuntha. Then by the Lord's associates, I was quickly brought inside. Then I saw a wonder of wonders. Even Lord Ananta with his 1,000 mouths could not describe what I saw in the lifetime of Brahma. Gate after gate, and at each gate there were gatekeepers just as before. Each time the gatekeepers informed their master and then allowed me to enter. As I went to each gate, I saw there was one leader to whom the gatekeepers bowed down. I thought this must be the Lord of the universes. And I also bowed down to him and glorified him again and again." And Sanatana Goswami explains that this leader was a supervisor of the gatekeepers. In other words, he was in charge of the chokidars. Just like there's a guy in Delhi, he used to be a chokidar, and then he started wearing civilian private clothes, not uniform. I say, "What happened to him?" He said, "Oh, he's in charge now. He's in charge, he's the chief, he's in charge of all the other chokidars." So, at each gate, there's seven gates. In Vaikuntha, there's seven different gates. And Jai and Vijay, they're on the outermost gate. And then there's Jai and Vijay and Nanda and Sunanda. And there's like these couples, pairs all the way in. And so everywhere he went, Gopakumara went from one gate. And then they were all bowing down to show respect to their boss, the head chokidar. And then they would go in, they would ask Lord Vishnu, "Can we let him in?" They say, and then he would get in that gate, and then he'd go to the next gate, like this. "Then the Lord's affectionate associates described to me the Lord's uncommon features, and they taught me how to glorify and worship him." This is interesting, that he has the... Gopakumara has the adhikar, the eligibility or qualification to go to Vaikuntha, right? He's liberated. He's a liberated soul. He's there. It's Salokya. It's called Salokya Mukti. He's on the same planet. And he's there, but still he has some more refining to receive. And you see the same, so he's being taught how to worship Lord Narayan, how to glorify him, how to worship him. And he's also being described some of the guna, Lord's uncommon features. So these similar type of education or this shiksha, they're acting like as shiksha gurus. They're shiksha gurus in bhajan. They're teaching Gopakumar, even at the level of Vaikuntha, he still has something to learn. You can never think you learned it all. Oh, I know everything about bhajan. He's in Vaikuntha and he's learning something about bhajan from the Vaikuntha Vasis. In other words, the Nitya Parishads that are eternally liberated and are there, they're teaching him something about more of the fine points of the glorious qualities of the Lord and more of the fine points of how to sing for him and to worship him and glorify him. And a similar phenomenon is there. This is, of course, in Aishwarya Bhav. But if someone is in Madhurya Bhav and they make it to the topmost planet, which we haven't described yet, or Goloka Vrindavan, they will also, well, generally, first they'll go to another planet in this material world, another Boma Vrindavan, where Krishna's Prakat Leela is happening, and the same thing will happen. They will go there, so you'll be there. You have the adhikar and qualification to be in Krishna's pastimes, at least on the planet, and in the same Boma Vrindavan. But then what will happen? You won't just walk up and say, "Hey, Krishna, nice to see you. Radharani, Haribo, Jai Radhe." You know, it won't be so direct like that. First thing you'll meet are the associates. You'll meet the Yuteshwaris, the group leaders of the Sakis, or you'll meet the Gopas. The Gopas, depending on your bhav, whether it's Vatsalya, Sakya, or Madhurya. But for example, if it's in Madhurya, Manjari Bhav, Sakhi Bhav, then you will meet the Rupa Manjari or Rati Manjari, whom you've been worshipping, Sri Rupa Manjari Pad, and glorifying life after life, day after day, and meditating on, following Rupa Goswami externally, and meditating on Rupa Manjari internally. Then you'll meet Rupa Manjari because you want to. She's the sampat, the wealth of your life. So you'll meet her, and you'll meet Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das Goswami, and they'll say, "Hey, Saki, what are you singing? You're singing like this. Oh, let us teach you how to play exactly proper veena, exactly properly for Radha's pleasure. And we'll teach you some nice new songs, some Brajvasa songs, and we'll show you some, tell you some more features about Radha and Krishna." Then gradually, by the mercy of those Manjaris, they will take you to the Lita Saki, Ananga Manjari, and then they will engage you and teach you some fine points of your particular Nitya Seva, your eternal service, and then you'll get an opportunity to render that service through the mercy of your Guru. So, the same thing goes on in when one goes to the level of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So now back to Vaikuntha with Gopakumar. "Passing through many wonderful and colorful gates, I came to a very glorious palace. Its feet served by many other palaces." In other words, in the middle, after you went through the last gate, there was a very huge palace and there were many small palaces around it. "This one palace was most excellent. It was flooded with glory and more splendid than millions of suns and moons. It charmed the eyes and heart. Inside I saw far away." You get the idea here. This Aishwarya Bhav is this distance. That's one of the words that's used. There's a distance in the relationship. There's not the intimacy of standing on the Lord's shoulders. "Inside I saw far away on a regal golden throne, glistening with many jewels, happily sitting on a splendid white swan cushion." I mean, doesn't mean he was sitting on a swan. It sounds like that when you read the direct English. He was a white swan cushion. He was sitting on a cushion that was covered with some satin or silk that was as white as a swan. "Handsome as a splendid moon, his left elbow resting on a soft cushion, the supremely opulent and eternally youthful Lord of Vaikuntha, Vaikunthapati, with his sweetly handsome limbs glory, which eclipsed the glory of new clouds, decorated his ornaments of jewels and gold, his garments and his scented ointments. Many servants as glorious as the Lord in their splendid hands were waving chamara whisks and peacock fans. And nearby there were slippers, golden slippers and beautiful paraphernalia surrounding the Lord and waiting to serve him. Shesha, Garuda, Vishvaksena, and many other important associates standing with their folded palms placed reverentially on their bowed foreheads were worshiping him and glorifying him with the choicest of words. Narada Muni was worshiping Lord Narayan with graceful artistry of wonderful singing, dancing, and veena playing. While the Lord was joking and laughing with his beloved Lakshmi, Dharani, and other consorts. And who to fill... And to fill with bliss, fill the devotees' hearts with bliss who were fixed on him alone, he placed on their heads his wonderful lotus feet. Filled with bliss by seeing him and forgetting the instructions of the Lord's associates. Because the Lord's associates, they trained him up. Now this is how you do it. This is how you behave over here. This is the qualities of the Lord. This is how you glorify him. You stand like this and you like this and you walk like this. In the same way as the Lita Sakhi and Mandris will train, which you see in Gita Mala by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he explains it, how he's describing some bhajan, Siddhi Lalasa, where he's describing now how he, when he appears in the Boma Vrindavan, where the Prakat Leela is going on, how he's there for many years, drawing water from the Yamuna and singing and singing and growing up. And finally, he gets an opportunity to meet the Mandris, and they take him aside, and then they introduce him to Lalita Sakhi, and some training is there. But what happened is, although he was trained like this, for the he was prepared. Okay, now we'll take you, and he was brought before Lakshmi Narayan, before Vaikunthapati, and he became filled with bliss when he saw the Lord surrounded by his associates like Vishvaksena and Garuda and all these different Narada and Shesha and everything. But then he forgot everything about what he was told, and he cried out, "Hey, Gopal! Oh, my Prananath!" And he started crying and he ran forward to embrace him. "Oh Gopal, oh Prananath." Prananath means Lord of my life. "Held by some wise associates and standing behind the Lord, I piteously begged with many plaintive words, and then overcome by love, I fainted unconscious in the Lord's presence." Because he was restricted by the guards. "They quickly picked me up and I regained consciousness. Tears blocked my eyes. Carefully wiping the tears with my hands, I opened my eyes. Then I heard the most merciful and affectionate Lord, in a deep, soft voice, said some words beginning with, 'Be calm, child. Be calm. Come at once.'" So that's Vaikuntha. "Be calm, child." So he couldn't quite sit on the lap of Gopal and wrestle with him as he wanted to do. So this is in Brihad Bhagavatamrita to describe something of the first level of Haridam. It's this Vaikuntha region, Narayan Lok or Vishnu Lok, where Gopakumar went. But then above that is Ayodhya, and I have a little summary here about Ayodhya. Because there's three divisions of Haridam, which is Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, then Dwarkapuri, and Mathurapuri. Gopakumar, when he arrived in Ayodhyapuri, he glorified Ram. And then Ram told him to give up his awe and reverence. Because he had just come from Vaikuntha, so he thought, well, now he went to, and now here's, I'm in another region, I better learn my lesson. I got a good thrashing last time. I mean, I fell unconscious, and but he checked me and gave me, you know, heavy looks and the evil eye. So now when he finally made it to Ayodhya, he was in the presence of Lakshman and Hanuman, Sita Devi and Ramchandra. So then he was really, you know, careful and really formal and lots of respect and lots of awe. And Ramchandra said, "Hey, relax." This is a Yodhya. He told him to give up his own reverence. Hanuman tried to convince Gopal Kumar to worship Ramchandra. But still, Gopal Kumar hankered for playful pastimes with Lord Gopal. So Hanuman was preaching to him. You know, a new bhakta had just come to the Ayodhya. And so Hanuman, he's in Dasya Bhav, so he's the bhakta director in Ayodhya. So Hanuman took him aside and gave him a nice plate of Mahaprasadam, Ram Prasad. He said, look, Bhakta Gopa Kumar, he said, you know, this Ram's really wonderful. You should serve him. There's so much happiness in serving him. And he's a very merciful Lord, and you can do so many services. I do so many personal services, and he's so kind and so kind to me, and like a father, like a friend. And Gopa says, yeah, I know, but it's not the same, you know. I just don't, the vibes here are different. You know, the vibration's different. I mean, there's some kind of wall between us. There's some very formal lines of distinction. I mean, let me ask you some questions, for example. Hanumanji, if you wanted, could you like get up on the Lord's shoulders and you know, play, have chicken fights and stuff? He said, are you kidding? What? Hey, shh, Chuck, don't speak like that. This is our Lord Ram. Jai Sri Ram. Ram. No, this is offensive to speak like this. That we will, my feet will touch the Lord's shoulders? What are you talking about? No. Sometimes I carry the Lord on my shoulders. Then he can put his feet on me, but my feet on his? See, you had some funny ideas about Krishna consciousness. He had some funny ideas about Ram consciousness. Gopal Kumar. So then Hanuman saw that Gopal Kumar was dissatisfied, and Ramachandra saw that he wasn't making it in the bhakta program. In Ayodhya. So he told him he should go to another temple. So Ramachandra, he told him, he said, listen, the all-knowing Lord Ramachandra, he said, Gopal Kumar, I think you should go to another temple. I think you should go to Dwarka. You should go to Dwarka. Recognizing Gopal Kumar, the Lord of Dwarka took out a royal assembly into the inner chamber. By associating with Gopal Kumar, Dwarkadish remembered Vrindavan. Because Gopal Kumar, he came with a flute tucked in his belt and maybe a peacock feather in his hair, and he, just like a regular gopa, just like the gopas would dress in Vrindavan. Sometimes they pick up the feathers, and generally only Krishna, but sometimes the boys. And when Dwarkadish, Lord of Dwarka, he saw him, he was immediately reminded of Vrindavan. Because he's a coward boy. He's dressed as a coward boy. And as a result, he developed intense feelings of Braja Viraha Bhav, separation from Vrindavan. He told Gopal Kumar that he should dress in a very opulent way. But Gopal Kumar refused. And was somewhat pacified by seeing Lord Dwarkadish. Uddhava commented that Gopal Kumar only desires Gopal Krishna's intimate affection, which even we cannot attain here in Dwarka. Uddhava advised Gopal Kumar to go to Braja, to Vrindavan. So first, Gopal Kumar came to Boma Vrindavan in the material world, and he continued the practice of chanting his Gopal mantra. While bathing one day in the Yamuna, a celestial airplane picked up Gopal Kumar and took him back through all the planets, back to Goloka Dham, Braja Gokul, wherein sweetness prevails. Everything in Goloka Vrindavan has some friendly, intense, friendly, parental, or conjugal mood pervading it. So this is the topmost, the final gradation or realm which is discussed in this verse 43 is the realm of Goloka. Devidam, Maheshtam, Haridam, and then Golokadam. So Gopakumar, he was taken from the Yamuna back to the spiritual world. In the purport, there's a couple of phrases that we have some notes on. Is there any comments or questions on this? About, I have a little bit more about Sadashiva, because sometimes people have questions about Sadashiva. So we were talking a little bit the other day, reading from Prabhupada's purport, where he quoted the Vayu Purana, explaining how there's two forms of Sadashiva. One form directly expands from Vishnu or from the Chaturvyuha in the spiritual world, has a spiritual planet in Vaikuntha, and engages in pastimes there. And from that particular form of Sadashiva, another Sadashiva comes to live on this Sadashiva Loka in this material world, but has some contact through his expansion of Shambhu with this material energy. So, some people say that Sadashiva is an expansion of the transcendental form of the Lord Sankarshan. And some say that Sadashiva is a vibhuti, or you could say vibhuti, like Vibhuti Yoga, chapter 10. It means an opulence, or expanded opulent form. And Sadashiva is a vibhuti of Narayan. This is the points that Tamal Krishnamaraj gave in the Brahma Samhita class some years ago. Vibhuti of Narayan, or an opulence of the Supreme Lord. But basically, there are two Sadashivas and two Shiva Lokas. One Sadashiva directly expands from Sankarshan for its transcendental pastimes on Sadashiva Loka in the spiritual world. And second Sadashiva is an expansion from that spiritual Sadashiva and lives on the other, upper part of Shiva Loka, which is called Sadashiva Loka. So that's it for this verse 44, talking about the different spiritual realms. Any questions about any of this? Yeah, well, that was the whole thing. He's on a spiritual odyssey. He was in Vaikuntha. Like, because part of what Sanat Goswami is trying to show us is that Boma Vrindavan is not different from the spiritual world. There's two aspects of it. Aprakat and Prakat, or Aprakrita and Prakrita, means that for those that are in pure consciousness or in pure devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, when they're here, they see this Vrindavan as a spiritual world because they see Radha Krishna's pastimes. And those that aren't in spiritual consciousness, they maybe sometimes have a vision, if they're very elevated in Bhava Bhakti, or if they're not very elevated, then they only see the material covering of the Dham. They don't see any pastimes. So Gopakumar, he was practically, you know, was a special arrangement. Obviously, this is it's a contrived thing that this description of Sanatana Goswami Brihad Bhagavatamrita is kind of an allegory. It's a story of someone, he goes there and he's just trying to show the comparative experiences and rasas and bhavas on different realms. From Haridam to Vaikuntha, from Vaikuntha to Ayodhya to Goloka. But then, Gopakumar, he still had to come back to Boma Vrindavan because he hadn't, you know, he made it all the way to Ayodhya, but he couldn't, you don't go from Ayodhya to Braja Gokul. You go to Braja Gokul from Boma Vrindavan. That's another point that Sanat Goswami is explaining. So he went to Ayodhya to see it, to sample it, but he wasn't satisfied. And of course, by being there, Sanat Goswami could reveal all about the differences of Aishwarya. Then he went to Dwarka. So Dwarka has more Madhurya, but lots of Aishwarya, but much less Aishwarya than Vaikuntha. But from Dwarka, he had to come back to Vrindavan, chanted his Gopal mantra, and from there he was taken to the spiritual world. That's what's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then he went to the original Nitya Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So that's why we choose to do service in Vrindavan or to be in Vrindavan, because this is the place We go from this Vrindavan to the Boma Vrindavan of Prakat Lila, or the manifest pastimes of Krishna. And when we attain perfection, and then, of course, that is a perfection in itself. When we attain Vastu Siddhi, then we go from that planet, Boma Vrindavan with Krishna's Lila, we enter that, and then we go to the spiritual world, in the eternal world. Vaikuntha Das. Right? There's the Vaikuntha planet in the material universe where Shri Lakshmi Vishnu lives. But Brahma can communicate through mystic transmission. He stands on the shore of the ocean of milk and he receives a transferal of information in his heart. Tene rida yat adi kavye. And same thing, the knowledge within his heart, he receives messages or he receives knowledge by radio. He hears the class on the radio.